This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Doesn't Need to Hoard.
Now, in a previous message, I listed five factors that are causing stress all around the world. These days, during the COVID-19 global pandemic, we're facing a viral infirmity, that's the virus. We're facing social instability. We're facing financial insecurity. We're facing racial inequality, and we're facing political incivility. Now, as we continue through our study of this book of James, I want us to use two messages to focus on this third issue, financial insecurity. Because right now, hundreds of millions of people around the world are out of work during the COVID-19 pandemic. And millions of businesses around the world have been closed for most of 2020. This has created a great economic hardship on many, many families, with single parents and poor families being hit even the hardest. Now, you remember that I said at the start of this pandemic that we're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. Some people are sailing through this storm in a yacht, and they don't really see what the big deal is with this pandemic. They have the kind of job where they can work from home, and in many ways, they're doing just fine. And they may have saved enough money to support themselves for a long time. But other people, particularly those in service or transportation and hospitality businesses, have little or no income these days. And they're battling this storm in a rowboat, not a yacht. And then there are even others who are homeless. And so in this storm, they're just kind of holding on to a piece of driftwood. So we're going to look at some passages in the book of James this week and next week that have to do with facing financial insecurity and managing money. Now, in my next message, we're going to look at a faith that handles wealth wisely, a faith that handles wealth wisely. And we're going to look at the specifics of what God has to say about making money and using money and investing money. And I hope you don't miss that message. But today, I want us to look at a faith that doesn't need to hoard. A faith that doesn't need to hoard. Now, I'm sure you remember in the early days of this pandemic, there was a run on grocery stores with panic buying. Everybody remember that? You can remember the famous shortage on toilet paper and hand sanitizer and pretty much everything else. And when that first lockdown occurred, people panicked and they began hoarding everything. They weren't doing this as a statement of faith, but they were doing it as evidence of fear. They were hoarding out of anxiety and out of worry and of apprehension about their economic future. But as we'll see in just a minute, there are other motivations for hoarding too besides fear. So when I say a faith that doesn't need to hoard, what is hoarding? Well, if you look up the definition in a dictionary, it defines hoarding as the excessive accumulation of anything, particularly money or possessions. The excessive accumulation of anything, particularly money or possessions. Now, remember I told you that James wrote this letter to the Christians in the very first church, which was in Jerusalem, who, because of intense persecution, they weren't allowed to meet together for public worship in Jerusalem. Does that sound familiar? They weren't allowed to meet together for public worship. Instead, they were forced to scatter and flee all over the Roman Empire. So James writes this letter that we've been looking at now for a long time to encourage discouraged believers in a time of intense stress. And it has sure encouraged us in a time of intense stress too. But in those days, because of what was going on in the persecution of the new Christians, many had lost their jobs, they had lost their homes, and most important, they had lost their contact with each other during this time. Sound familiar? So he wrote to encourage them. But you know, in the text that we're going to look at today, James actually confronts and he calls out the wealthy Christians in the church for hoarding their wealth in a time when fellow brothers and sisters in the family of God desperately needed help. You know, as I've studied this book now for many months, in many ways, the first century AD, after Jesus rose from the grave, the first century is what's like happening in the 21st century AD. Today, in the 21st century, we are witnessing, one of the things, is the demise of the middle class. What do I mean by that? Well, in the last 20 or 30 years, the rich are getting richer, while the middle class has been dropping further and further behind for 30 years. And there's more greater income inequality today than at any other time in the history of the world since the first century. It's true. There's more. There, people are very, very rich and people are very poor, and there's less in the middle. In the New Testament, there was essentially no middle class. You were either rich or you were poor. And in the Roman Empire, the rich used the poor workers to get richer, and there were no pension plans, there were no health benefits, there were no social programs, so the poor were stuck in poverty. If you weren't rich, you were poor. Now, James doesn't pull any punches in this text we're going to look at today. He is upset. He's upset about the selfish attitudes and the self-centeredness of wealthy Christians who don't seem to care about the economic inequality or the financial distress that the poor members of the church were going through during that crisis. So you know what happens? James just lays it on the line to those who didn't seem to care about anything but themselves during this crisis. And they're continually hoarding their wealth that they could be using actually to help other people. Now, here's how he starts. James chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read it to you. And the following verses. James 4, 17. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that when you know the good thing you ought to do, but you don't do it, then you sin. Now, let me pause here before we go any further to point out a couple things. First, James is talking to people who know the Lord. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. They know the right thing to do. They know the right thing to do with their time, with their money, with their energy. These are not people in the dark who don't know right from wrong. These are believers he's writing to in the family of God. Second, there are two kinds of sins. There are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. Commission and omission. Now, when you do something that you know is wrong to do, that's called a sin of commission. You know it's wrong to do, and you do it anyway. That's a sin of commission. But the opposite is also a sin. When you fail to do the right thing, you fail to do the right thing that you know you ought to do. When you don't do the right thing, he said, that's the sin of omission. Omission. I should have done it. And he says, when I hoard any wealth that God has blessed me with, instead of using it to help other people when I see a need, he said, that's a sin of omission. Okay, let's read the whole passage. James chapter 4, verse 17. All right, here's what he says. And it goes to chapter 5, verse 8. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that when you know the good thing you ought to do, but you don't do it, then you sin. So then, you who are rich should grieve and lament because of the impending trouble that's headed your way. Your wealth is rotting, and the moths will eat your fine clothes, and your gold and silver will be worthless, but it'll be a witness testifying against you that you have hoarded and piled up wealth in these last days. Now, as I read that, can you feel the righteous indignation welling up inside of James as he wrote these words? Knowing that there were wealthy members in his church, the church in Jerusalem that he was the leader of, wealthy members who couldn't care less about the poor members who were barely surviving during the crisis of that day. Okay? He said, you don't even care about it. Now, we're gonna examine these verses phrase by phrase, but first I want you to write this down. Would you write this down? Okay, get out a pen and write this down. God doesn't oppose wealth. He opposes greed. Write that down. God doesn't oppose wealth. He opposes greed.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional, or if you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Matthew 9:29. That's an amazing statement. Jesus is saying that you get to choose how much God blesses you and how much God uses you in his plan for the world. So how is that possible? The answer is faith. Daring faith is the key to fulfilling God's will in your life, and it's the secret to experiencing miracles in your life. You'll want to journey with Pastor Rick through the Daring Faith Bible study as he examines true biblical faith and looks at the lives of people who are commended for their faith in the Bible. If you're ready to break out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do, then order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren today. These videos are packed with inspiring teaching that will free you up to become the history maker you were made to be. Be bold, step out of the ordinary, and live a life of daring faith. Right now, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the 6-session Daring Faith DVD and workbook. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
God doesn't oppose wealth. He opposes greed. Now, if you were to turn on your television to one of those religious channels and you were to watch several different TV preachers, you would likely be confused by conflicting messages about money. Because there are some teachers out there who teach that God wants everybody to be rich and everybody to be wealthy and everybody to be perfectly healthy. And if you're poor, they say, you just don't have enough faith. That's what they say. And they're called prosperity preachers or health and wealth teachers. And they're on one extreme. Then at the other extreme are the priests and pastors out there who tell you that to truly be holy, you have to take a vow to live in poverty the rest of your life. And they say it's a sin to be wealthy. And they misquote 1 Timothy 6:10. I've heard this misquoted all my life. 1 Timothy 6:10, they say, doesn't it say in the Bible that money is the root of all evil? And the answer is no, it doesn't. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. It never has said it. The correct verse actually says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not an evil. It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Now, those two extremes, God wants you to be a millionaire and God wants you to take a vow of poverty. Jesus never taught either of those extremes. Both of them are wrong. Both of them are not supported in the Bible. So God is not opposed to wealth. In fact, if you read this book, most of the godly people in the Bible that are talked about are quite wealthy. Abraham was probably a millionaire, multimillionaire in our terms. Job was the wealthiest man on earth in his time. Joseph became very wealthy as the second in command for Pharaoh. David and Solomon were both the wealthiest men of their time. And in the New Testament, people like Barnabas, we know he was wealthy because he was able to give large amounts to the church. And Joseph of Arimathea, that's the guy who gave Jesus his tomb after Jesus was crucified. He was extremely wealthy. So God is not against wealth. Okay, let's just clear that up right off the bat. He is against greed, but he's not against wealth. Proverbs 10:22, in a contemporary English version, says this: when the Lord blesses you with riches, you have nothing to regret. When the Lord blesses you with riches, you didn't get them in a dishonest way. When the Lord blesses you with riches, you have nothing to regret. So what I'm saying is that if God has graciously allowed you to have some measure of wealth, you don't need to feel ashamed about that, but you might need to feel ashamed that you haven't used it correctly, because God is very much opposed to the abuse of wealth, to the misuse of wealth, to the hoarding of wealth, regardless of the amount we have. Now, that's why James points out in verse 3 of chapter 5, he says, you have hoarded and piled up wealth in these last days. Now, I want you to write down this second truth. Okay, write this down. Money is a tool to be used, not a thing to be hoarded. All right? That's what the Bible teaches. Money is a tool to be used, not a thing to be hoarded. God says that money is not to be stockpiled where it doesn't do any good, or just stored up just for the sake of storing it up and having it and counting it. God says, I want all that money in circulation. It's a tool to be used. And by the way, we are to use money and love people. When you get that in reverse, you get a problem, because if you start loving money, you're going to use people. No, people are to be loved. Money is to be used. Don't get that in reverse. Money is simply a tool. Now, he says, I don't want you hoarding. I don't want you piling up a wealth. Now, you're probably thinking, but Rick, doesn't the Bible teach the principle and the habit of saving? I mean, aren't we told in Scripture that it's wise to save money? Yes. Yes, we are. Of course, the Bible teaches the principle of both saving and also the principle of investing. In fact, Jesus told a parable about a guy, a couple guys who doubled their money by investing it wisely. And then he says, you've made the most of what you've been given, and you made it count, and you did good, and you're a good and faithful servant. But there's a big difference. Listen, there's a big difference between saving money and hoarding money. Okay, so what's the difference? Well, we said the definition of hoarding is an accelerated or extreme accumulation of something, particularly money or possessions. So what's the difference between saving, which is the Bible commends, and hoarding, which the Bible condemns? Well, for one thing, there's no TV shows about smart saving on TV, but there are shows about hoarders on TV. There are plenty of shows about hoarding. The difference between saving and spending, or saving and hoarding your money, is in your purpose and in your motivation. Okay? Now listen closely. People usually hoard their money for one or two reasons. One, out of fear for the security. Out of fear for their security is one reason people hoard money, because they're afraid. Or number two, out of pride. Out of pride for their status. Out of fear for security or out of pride for status. Now, let me just talk to you about these for a second. Some people hoard what they own and everything they make out of anxiety. You know, every once in a while, you'll hear a story about some poor elderly person who died in abject, obvious poverty, but when they went in to clear out her or his little apartment and the mattress on the bed was moved, they would find hundreds of thousands of dollars. And yet they were living in poverty. Why did they hoard what they had? Because money had become an idol. It became an end in itself. Holding on to money had become the goal of life. Listen, they were so afraid to lose their money, that they would not even use their money. It represented security. Now, we all know that's an extreme, but many people, even those who are Christians and love the Lord, don't realize that they're doing the exact same thing with their bank account. They are putting their security not in the Lord, they're putting their security in their bank account and in their investments instead of God. And no matter how much they always have and how much they accumulate and how much they hoard and how much they store and stockpile, they always have these questions in the back of their mind. Do I have enough? Am I going to run out? Will I need more? How much is enough? And because they really trust their security to what they've accumulated, you know, hoarding more than they really need, then they trust God's promises. They're trusting their bank account more than they're trusting God's promises. They're always hesitant to give any of it away, either in tithing or in being generous with others. Why? Because who knows? I might need that money in an emergency. And what would I do without it? And what would I rely on? See, hoarding is based on a scarcity mentality. Okay? I won't have enough. Hoarding is based on a scarcity mentality. Savings is based on a stewardship mentality. I'm saving, but I'm not looking to my savings for my security. Scarcity mentality. I'm scared to death. I won't have enough. So I'm going to hoard. And I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away to my friends, neighbors, anybody else. I want to hold on to it because I might need it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook. As our way of saying thanks, go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.